The Wildcats return to the court. The streak continues in Spencer. Offensive woes for the Cavaliers. Been a strong week for the White County Lady Warriors as they finish it up Friday night. Win over Ray County, 84-43. Michael Dodgen, head coach, joins us on the high school playbook this Saturday morning. Were you pleased with what you saw last night, coach?
In the second half, yes. Now, offensively, I felt like we played good the whole game. I didn't feel like we had a lot of energy defensively in the first half, but we held them to 13 points in the second half, so it was obviously a much better effort on the defensive end of the floor.
I can't tell you how many coaches I hear talk about a lack of energy, and it seems as though when you make those trips to Ray County and places like that, and I know you don't want to make excuses, but is that part of it, you think, at all?
I think it is because it adjusts your schedule so bad because you've got to go. I mean, for us, it's an hour and 35, 40-minute trip. You're switching time zones. And, you know, with no atmosphere really in a gym right now, it's hard to create that energy.
What kind of spurred things for you in the second half?
Well, we created some turnovers early, and then we made some shots. And, you know, anytime you make shots, things always seem to be a little bit better. But I felt like we just got after it a little bit better. We rebounded better. And we didn't have the silly turnovers. We were more focused and ready to go. And, you know, that's what it's going to take for us to be good down the road.
There are different kinds of turnovers, aren't there?
Yes. There's your hustle turnovers, and then there's just a lack of mental preparation turnovers, too. And I felt like, honestly, we scored 39 points in the first half last night, and we should have had about 50 to 52 points in the first half. We just missed some, and I consider an open miss layup a turnover. And we had four or five of those that we should have made that we didn't make.
Overall, as golly, the calendar's going to turn to February before we know it, where do you feel like you are?
Well, I feel like we're in a good place, but our district is so good, you know, with Cookeville and Stone Memorial that, you know, we let one slip away at home against Cookeville, and you got to give Cookeville all the credit in the world. You know, we played a great first quarter. They played three great quarters after that. And Jamie's done a fantastic job with them. You know, Stone Memorial is arguably one of the top teams in the state. You know, Tessa Miller's a great player. Coach Buck, I've got the utmost respect for Coach Buck and the job that he does. And, you know, so with those two teams, I feel like, you know, us three, we can compete with anybody in the state of Tennessee. But it's just going to be the fact that you got to be able to get out of your own district tournament.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, there are not many places in the state that you can say that you're competing with these kind of teams and just to move ahead out of your district.
Oh, that's correct. I mean, it's not only in the AAA district, but you look at the AA district and the single-A district. The basketball, the quality of basketball in the Upper Cumberland right now, Larry, is as good as I've ever seen it, not only with coaches, but with all the players that are in the state. You could put an all-star team together in the Upper Cumberland, and they could compete and probably beat a lot of small college NCAA programs.
Yeah, and part of what makes it so sad that fans are not getting a chance to see it.
That's 100%. I mean, I know we've allowed grandparents and some other people back into ball games, but the people of the Upper Cumberland are really, really missing out on how good a basketball is in the Upper Cumberland right now.
Michael Dodgen is head coach of the White County Lady Warriors. So two of your next, what, six games against Stone Memorial? Have you had a chance to really look at them and see what makes them tick?
We have. We've looked at them a little bit. You know, you don't ever want to look ahead, but we looked at them a little bit last week. And, you know, they're a well-oiled machine. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of kids coming back. They've got Tessa Miller, who's arguably one of the best players in the state. Maddie Buck, who in my opinion is probably one of the most underrated point guards in the state. She does a great job of running Mike's system. You know, she's a coach's kid. She's been around it. She's been in the gym. She does everything that, you know, Mike wants her to do. And, you know, that's why they're good, because when you have good point guards, you can be really, really good.
You know about that same scenario, the coach's kid. Why is it, and this is across football, basketball, you hear people talk all the time, oh, you know, I want a quarterback who's a coach's son. for example. Right. Why is that? What is it that really is the tangible part of that?
Well, they're in the gym all the time, and they're around it all the time. I mean, Gracie's been with me since probably as early as her mom would let her go with us, you know, and that started when she was about 3 or 4 years old, and she watched it, she played it, she's been around it, and it's been fantastic. And when you get to coach your own kid, it's a great opportunity.
But they soak up just the experiences, they watch, and they learn the strategy, right?
Yes, and they learn how to compete at high levels. You know, Gracie's had a great opportunity with her, with me being involved with travel ball this summer, that she's got to sit and watch some of the best players in the country, kids that are playing WNBA, and you can't replace those things. And kids that soak it up and kids that want to be it, you know, are that same way. You look at Grant Slatton, who's playing for our boys team. His dad's a coach. Grant, him all the time. And it matters because you're translating that over into success.
I guess the other part is that they also get role models. They meet people during the course of those days and nights in the gym.
And they're able to be around people that are great role models for them to follow and lead and want to be like.
It's going to be quite a battle, White County and Stone Memorial coming up. But for today, we'll enjoy the win over Ray County, 84-43, for head coach Michael Dodgen in White County. Thank you, coach, as always.
Sir. Thank you.
The Pioneers of Warren County got on the road last night and got a win over the Cookeville Cavaliers, 63-57, the final score. The high school playbook continues as we bring aboard Warren County head coach Chris Sullins. Coach, happy with the victory last night?
Always happy to get a road win in District 6 AAA. I mean, Cookeville's been a tough place to play for Warren County for many years, and Coach Hurd's got an excellent basketball team. I mean, they're young, but that's going to be a tough out in the years to come. If you're going to defeat Cookeville, you better do it now, because those kids are getting better every time they step on the floor. So proud of our kids. I think we finished the basketball game last night the way we wanted to. Went 16-17 from the free throw line. And C.J. Taylor, he kind of, the light switch came on again last night. I think he had 31 and just really, really played well. So proud of our whole basketball team, setting it 3-1 in the district. And get a couple of days off and get ready for White County next Friday.
Nobody shows highlights of free throws on television. Nobody extols the virtues of free throws, and yet you see in a situation like this, they probably won the game for you.
Well, it's that simple. I mean, if we don't hit free throws down the stretch, then we don't win that basketball game. I mean, Cookeville put us at the line and made us you know, they make you make free throws, and we did that. I mean, CJ stepped up, and then Delano Space, D Space. Those are two kids that when you look at them in the fourth quarter, both of them shoot about 80 to 85% from the free throw line. And we just continue to get put there and just continue to knock them down. So just extremely proud of them. Like you say, it's not a glamorous deal, but if you want to win high school basketball games, those are the type of things you must do in those situations. And we've done that the last two or three nights that we've been put in that situation.
Is it hard to get the guys to focus on that in practice, to work on free throw shooting?
I think it's hard for younger guys at times. I think we've got a pretty mature basketball team that's been in some tight battles the last couple of years. And once you go to the free throw line, you miss a couple free throws in those situations, and it comes back to bite you. That's kind of a reality check. Like you say, ESPN's not going to show that highlight, but when you miss them, it's kind of it's glorified in the locker room, and you're kind of sitting there with your head down wondering, hey, if I would have just did this. So I think it's good for our younger guys to watch how important our older guys take those type things when we're in practice, and it kind of bleeds over to them. But I do think at times some of our young guys don't realize the importance of those type basketball plays when it comes to playing winning basketball.
Coach Sullins, people talk about C.J. Taylor, and rightfully so, all the time. But where have you seen Dee's game improve during the course of his career?
Well, what he's starting to – I think he's probably one of the best point guards in the upper Cumberland. I think he's one of the best point guards in the mid-state. I mean, but what he's starting to understand is how to play the game of basketball and how to manage the game of basketball when he's out there. He's starting to understand that when it's time to go and when it's time to control tempo, we don't have to tell him that as much. He really shoots the ball extremely well. I think that is something that's underrated big time. He's about a 47% three-point shooter. He's a kid that can flat-out flick it from deep. And he also really likes getting teammates involved. He's the best point guard that I've coached in a long time. And like I say, I think he's the best point guard Warren County's had in at least two decades. We're going to miss that kid. You know, you're getting to the point of the season where you're understanding that with these three or four seniors we've had and some success we've had, they're not going to be around long, and we're going to miss that D-Spates just running our basketball team.
It's interesting because it's not always time to push the basketball. It's not always time to try to get that quick shot. And the point guards that understand that and can feel that, sense it, wow, they are such a contributor to the basketball team.
Well, he could push the ball each time down the floor and put teams in a lot of tough spots. But he's just starting to understand how to control the flow of a basketball game. I think last night we ended the four quarters we played. Three of those quarters we took the last shot of the quarter. We didn't give a team an opportunity to come back and kind of get us back and kind of create some momentum going into the next quarter. That's something he just does an excellent job of. His clock management skills have got a lot better. One thing that's very underrated about Spates too is he's such a good free throw shooter. So if you go out and extend on him, he's a kid that can knock down those shots. I think he's an 82% free throw shooter for his career. I think he's only missed one free throw in the fourth quarter. He's just, I don't want to say he's a complete point guard, but at the high school level, he's a kid that can give a lot of teams problems. And at the high school level, the point guard is such an important position. And he's really, really grown in that position. Can't wait to see how he finishes his career, and then I want to see him at the next level because I know he can play that.
Warren County Coach Chris Sullins is with us on the High School Playbook. You started the conversation talking about winning on the road. How hard is that night in, night out to go and win in your district?
Well, it's very tough. I mean, these are really tough places to play. You know, this year I won't say it's any easier because of COVID, but you're not dealing with the student sections and those type issues. But Coogle's gym dynamic is a whole lot different than a lot of other places we play. I mean, it's just a different kind of shooting atmosphere. That they've got more of the college type of goals and those type things, and the backdrop is a little bit different. Coogle's always been a place that we have a tough time shooting the basketball at, and a lot of opposing teams will tell you the same thing. I heard Coach Capps on the interview from Stone the other day talking about the same thing. And I also think that a lot of times you're playing JV basketball before varsity games. And the other night when we went to Ray County, we left at 12 o'clock that day to get over to Ray County. So you got kids sitting in the gym 3 or 4 or 5 hours before they're actually going to play. Those are just the type of things that you have to somehow, you kind of get in a routine and you've done it for many years and we understand what works and doesn't work. And then at the end of the night, you just got to go beat them on their home floor. And that's been tough. I think last night we had a guy tell us that it had been 19 years since Warren County had beat Coogle at Coogle High School. So those are the type of things that kids think about, too. You hear about it, and you think, hey, I'm going to beat that team. And then midway through the fourth quarter, we're down by 6 or 8, and you're thinking, well, this is not going to be our year. So we didn't put a lot of emphasis on it other than just telling them, hey, let's take it one possession at a time, and whatever the final score is what the final score is. But our seniors did want to be the first group in a long time to beat Coogle at their home on their home floor.
It has been a year first for Warren County sports, no doubt about that. 63-57, the Pioneers get the win at Cookeville Friday night. Head coach Chris Sullins, thanks for the time, Coach.
Hey, we appreciate all you guys do for not only our basketball team but every other basketball team in Upper Cumberland.
Let's go to Salina, where the Clay County Bulldogs get a big win over Monterey last night. Final score, 74-34. The head coach of the Lady Bulldogs is Matthew Walker, and he joins us now. Coach, really a strong start for your team that kind of fueled this victory last night.
Yeah, we've been shooting the ball really, really well. Several different players stepping out behind the line, making threes. You know, we've got several players staying after practice, working on the shooting. It's really showing off.
What impressed you about the offensive performance last night beyond the shooting?
Just different players contributing. You know, our defense really got us started as well. You know, turning them over, getting out in transition. of course, it's easy to make shots, you know, whenever you're getting out in transition. So that's the way we practice. That's the way we try to play. And I think we made good decisions, good reads, and we shared the ball instead of forcing some stuff. So I think that helps with our production.
I guess then really what it is defense fueling your offense.
Yeah, definitely. We like to get out in transition, and that's something we work on every day. And I feel like our girls the last couple games have really try to get out and pressure the ball a little bit more and try to create some more turnovers. That's led to some easy opportunities for us.
How much does it help you at this point in the year when you can get contributions from people that maybe you don't necessarily expect night in and night out?
Well, in our district, it's important to do that because there's so many great coaches in our district that they're going to try to take away your number one option, your number two option. You know, a lot of times regular season games, you know, you can win regular season games by getting a lot of points out of one or two players. But come tournament time, you know, you're going to have your third, fourth, fifth option step up in tournament time. These coaches are just so good, they're going to take away your best stuff.
And you get into situations where, you know, it's one game to advance. The other team, they'll try to pull out every stop to stop that star player, for example.
Absolutely. Of course, you know, I think we've got a fairly deep team, you know, a lot of good players even on the bench that can shoot the ball and can score the ball. And, you know, in basketball, there's always a trade-off. You know, if you sell out to stop one person or one thing, then something else is going to be open. And I feel like this year our team has some good options when they sell out and some girls that can make some open shots.
Matthew Walker is head coach at Clay County as the Lady Bulldogs get the win over Monterey. As you kind of look at yourself right now, what, a couple of weeks away from starting tournament time, where do you feel like you are as a basketball team?
Well, we'll know more in the next couple of weeks. You know, our schedule coming up is absolutely brutal. As we stand now, you know, we're at second place in our district, and of course that gives you a bye to the region tournament. It gives you a couple home games in the district tournament as well. So, you know, if we can hold on where we are, that's sitting pretty good for us where it's at. But as I said, our schedule is absolutely brutal. You know, going to Pickett, going to Jackson, still got Red Bull and left. So, you know, a lot of things can change in the next couple of weeks.
Do you talk about kind of where you are with your basketball team? Is that something that you want them to understand? Or I know a lot of coaches would say, no, we're just playing the game that we're playing Tuesday night.
We do. We talk about our position and how important that bye for the region tournament is. You know, especially after last year, you know, we got upset. We was the 3 seed last year and got upset in the district tournament and didn't advance to the region tournament. So, you know, I want our girls to know how important it is night in and night out to fight for that higher seed, put yourself in good position to have the best seed possible going into the tournament.
The thing that, as I look at it from the outside, you really are doing a good job defending the basketball, it feels like. I mean, 34 points last night, 25, 44, 33. I mean, you're doing a good job of keeping the scoring down on the other side.
Yeah, we try. You know, defense has really been my priority since day one. And, of course, fortunately, we've got some really good athletes right now that's coming through and some girls that I've coached for a long time through AAU when they was in third and fourth grade and girls that know how I want to play. And they know the value of defense and what it means to get up and guard. And I think even the girls that are coming in as freshmen this year know that if you don't play defense, you're not going to see the floor.
When you understand the value of defense and what it can do for you, it that's kind of half the battle, isn't it, getting them to understand that?
It is, just getting the buy-in. And, you know, that's a hard transition to make for a kid coming out of eighth grade because, you know, seventh, eighth grade, you're used to being the number one scorer and scoring whenever you want to and a lot of times doing it pretty easily, matter of fact, and having these big scoring games. But in high school, especially in our district, our conference, like I said, there's so many good coaches. You know, they're not going to let you stand out there and shoot open shots. So you better be able to pull your weight defensively on the glass, rebounds, toughness. So, you know, that's something we try to get the young kids to buy into every year.
Let's close on this. Give me another team in the state that is got at Clark Range, at Jackson County, at Pickett County in their next three. That be quite a test, isn't it?
It is, and that's just the gauntlet of District 6A. It's something teams in the past have had to go through, and just so many good teams in our conference, but it gets you ready for the tournaments.
Coach, congratulations on the win and where you stand right now, and we look forward to talking to you as we move further down into the season.
Thank you for your time.
Matthew Walker is head coach of the Clay County Lady Bulldogs. They get the win over Monterey. No basketball program in the Upper Cumberland has been impacted by COVID at the same degree as Livingston Academy. Wildcats back on the court last night, falling to Upperman. Boys assistant coach Nate Kennard joins us on the high school playbook. I guess first, Coach, just how good was it to get back and play?
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing for the guys to be able to have that game feel again. Through this year so far, we've had three restarts, you know, your typical preseason, and then having a stoppage about the beginning of December and going about a month without a game. And then this one was about 3 weeks. So getting that game feel, the pregame, the preparation time, the pregame, getting out there first quarter, you know, just that feel again and getting things rolling. It's hard when, it's hard whenever you have all that stoppage, but it was fun to finally get back out onto the floor.
And part of the reason that I think, you know, your situation has been unique at Livingston is that you have seen COVID up front. A lot of these stoppages have been because of contact tracing and that sort of thing. But, I mean, you've got coaches that are sick. I mean, it's been real.
It's been very real. And, you know, coaches, players' families. So it's been real, but it's been amazing to see these young men and how resilient they have been. And, you know, the win-loss record's not going to show that. But whenever you get these guys into a gym practicing with masks on, not complaining at all, whenever they, you know, they're there the first available day they can be there, you know, they want to do their part for this team. And so it's been amazing to see this group of guys this year and the things that we've learned off the floor more so than on the floor.
How much rust was there against Upperman?
Well, I think the rust kind of hit us late. We had been preparing. We were excited. We finally got a game to play. We executed very well in the first quarter, had the lead after the first quarter. But it was that second wave. You know, it was the adjustments that Upperman was able to make. It was the bench coming in for Upperman. They had a kid come off the bench, Nash, that hit 5 threes against us. And, you know, whenever that happens, you have to be able to adjust back. And it was that part of it that that we struggled with last night.
Did you see issues with just the legs and especially in the second half, being able to play at that up and down level?
Not so much, a little bit. Of course, it's going to be because you don't have the game feel. But we had prepared well. I think we were in shape okay. Like I said, I think it was more of the mental part of the game, the adjustments that we needed to make, and, you know, a little bit of the legs because our shooting went away. Our scoring ability was limited as the game went on.
I bet you saw, obviously you don't want to lose, and everybody understands that, but I bet you saw some looks of satisfaction in the locker room that we got back out there and now the intensity to try to put together the rest of the season in the way that we want.
Absolutely. You know, we hated the way that the game ended, but the stretch we're about to go on is pretty unbelievable. Starting last night, we're going to play 7 games in 9 days. We're going to play 11 games in 14 days. So we don't have many days off. We don't have a whole lot of turnaround time on losses like last night. We can go right into a game. Like tonight, we're playing at Smith County. So, you know, I've already been up this morning preparing for that. We're going to get together today and prepare for that. So with the short times in between the games, I think that that's going to be helpful, especially after a game like last night. But the satisfaction of, hey, here we go again. We're just hoping and praying every single day that, you know, we can continue through the rest of the season and finish.
What is the challenge, first of all, for a coach with that kind of short turnaround night after night after night?
For a coach, you know, you want to only prepare for the game you're about to play. That's one thing that you know, I've been struggling with is knowing that I have 7 games in 9 days that that Coach and I are going to have to prepare for. So you got those films, you got that preparation, you got those notes. It's not to be so focused in on 2 to 3 games down the road and be focused and give the appropriate kind of focus and preparation for the one that lies ahead of you. Because this is, you know, the pros, the college level, even in tournaments, they don't play that many games in that amount of days. So this is kind of new. And you know, we're looking at it as much of a positive, turn as possible, you know, saying, hey, this is something that nobody's done before, at Livingston Academy. You know, you're going to have a story to tell, you know, let's make it a good one. You know, let's look back on it and say, hey, look what we were able to do right here. And so, you know, there's a lot of challenges there, but you spin it, you try to, you know, use the positive part because there's so much negative, you know, with the situation that we're in that you can dwell on. So not dwelling on that, looking at it as, hey, you know, this time of year, we don't even like practicing. You know, we like the games much better. So, you know, there's positive things about it too.
Yeah. And for your guys, even though I know they were not able to practice for some period of time, they're probably tired of practicing. They want to play games. So they're good to go. I guess it does though limit what you can throw at them in terms of preparation for opponents.
It does. And for us, especially after last night, you know, one of the things that I've noticed through the game is, you know, we still have to work on ourselves a whole lot more than the opponent that we're about to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, just like our shoot around and walk through today, getting ready for Smith County, which is going to be tough at Smith County right after a tough game last night. So we have to focus on us. We got to fix what's broken with us and what we struggled with last night with us before we even focus on their personnel and the things that they do. And so I'm hoping that through this stretch, that's what it does for us, is it focuses on the things that we need to fix. So that way, by the time we're getting closer to tournaments and into tournaments, we can prepare for those opponents, you know, to the highest level where we need to be at the end of the season.
Great to have the Wildcats back on the courts and part of this high school basketball season, and we're glad that people are improving from COVID-19. Coach, thanks for the time this morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Nate Kennard, assistant boys basketball coach at Livingston. Van Buren County keeps rolling. Victory last night over Bledsoe County, 63-31. Tyler Sapp, head coach of Van Buren County, joins us on the high school playbook. Coach, what did you see from your basketball team Friday night?
I saw a lot of team basketball being played, sharing the ball, very balanced scoring effort, and that's going to be good towards tournament time. If we've got more people that everybody has to worry about to stop, then that's going to be a plus for us.
What am I counting here? Four players in double figures last night?
Yeah, I think that's right.
That's you can't just key on one person.
No, yeah, you can't. I think that's the second or third game we've had 3 or 4 in double figures.
Is your defense playing as well as you seem to be playing offensively?
At times it is. I mean, you know, defense is kind of difficult at times. You got a whole lot of other factors going on involved because, you know, the offense always has an advantage. But we're slowly getting there defensively, I think. We had a little bit of troubles a few games ago with post defense. We really worked on that last few days of practice, and it was much better last night. So it's getting there.
What specifically with post defense giving you trouble?
We just trying to front a little too high when they got up in the lane. Cause we just switched to, we're not switched, but we just started really working on man to man a lot. And we weren't in the gaps and able to help enough when we got to, when the post pushed us up a little too high. So that specifically.
Yeah. Every basketball team is a little bit different personality-wise. Does this team enjoy defense? Do they get, you know, motivation and that sizzle from playing good defense?
Some games they do and some games they don't. You know?
Depends on the night, right?
It just depends on the night. That's one thing we talk about all the time is, you know, Let's get going with defense. Let's let defense create our offense for us. When that's possible, it's not always possible. But that's one of the things that we try to really, really talk about. Because defense can be consistent. You're not always going to make shots. You're not always going to you're not always going to be able to run the offense good, but our defense can be consistent enough that maybe we can slow them down or create turnovers and go get easy offense.
I would bet, and you've coached and done it for a long time now, but I would bet that because of the society that we live in and the ESPN highlight zone that we live in, is it harder to get teams to buy into defense in 2021?
Even 5 years ago, it was hard.
Yeah.
Because everybody's just so offense focused, which, I mean, you know, that's what, you know, like when we talk to the press or anything like that, you know, it's always how many points everybody scored, you know, so it's everywhere.
Right.
You know, you're never asking how many deflections they got or how many, and I mean, it's because nobody wants to know that. So that's understandable, but, you know, it's a huge part of the game and something that we've got to try to get them focused on.
I know that coaches worry about everything, so maybe the answer is going to be an easy yes. But do you worry at all about the streak that you're on, that there's a sense of, well, we expect that we're going to walk in there and win, or does this team have the attitude that that's not an issue?
We talk about it all the time, so I would hope that's not the attitude they would have. But you never know. Some nights it happens. And some nights it don't. So, I mean, that's something we've been talking about lately, as, you know, hey, anybody can beat you on any given night, no matter who they are or what happened 2 weeks ago when we played them or a month ago when we played them. Anybody can be beat. We got to show up and be ready to go every time we take the floor. And that's something that we constantly talking about, because, I mean, we are on an 11-game win streak, and you can get complacent in where you're at and just say, hey, well, ain't nobody beat us, so whoopie-doo-dah. We can just show up and do whatever we want to. And that's when you get beat.
And the fact that you want to be playing your best as the tournament comes around. You know, this streak means nothing if you don't keep it going into February.
Yep.
I want to ask you about a couple of your young ladies. Caitlin Crane, how has she developed in her game?
She's come a long way. She took a year off last year and didn't play, which kind of hurt her a little bit. Obviously, if she'd played last year, she wouldn't have been, you know, as far behind. But, you know, she's a hustler. She's one of those defensive mindset people. She goes out there and, you know, she gets on the floor, sacrifices her body, gives us a spark defensively. And that's something we need sometimes. And she wasn't scoring anything at the beginning of the year, just because I think she was nervous and rushing everything. And now she's kind of starting to score a little bit and settle in. And, you know, she was a big part of that team. When they were in eighth grade, won the James C. Hale and everything. And then she, like I said, she took that year off, and she's a little bit behind now, but she's catching back up, and she's a huge asset for us.
Where is Layla, Layla Bolden, has she gotten better?
I think because, you know, last year as an eighth grader, you're trying to get acclimated, which, I mean, she did well, you know, I'm not trying to say anything like that, but, you know, she did well last year. I think just with the speed of the game and understanding, also, it also helps too that, for her, people know who she is, and for us as a team, not necessarily her, but they know who she is, and they're kind of, hey, we got to worry about her. And then it lets everybody else have that opportunity to score. And same way with Emily Allen. I mean, you know, we've got three people, we got three girls who are, you know, constantly leading our scoring for us. So, I mean, that's tough to stop.
Let's head to Smithville, where quite a showdown between York Institute and DeKalb County Friday night. York gets the win 62-56. DeKalb County head coach John Sanders is with us on the High School Playbook. Kind of a back-and-forth tough night on the basketball court. I guess you could say that just about any night in the Upper Cumberland as it relates to basketball.
Yes, sir, for sure. You know, it was a good game. Competitive, you know, just physical, just like you said, about what you'd expect, you know, every night in the Upper Cumberland, for sure.
What was the difference in the game?
Really, it came down to just execution. You know, late in the second half, we didn't execute. You know, we just missed a few shots that we needed to go down, and they made the plays, and we didn't really. I mean, I haven't watched the film yet, but just remembering off the top of my head, you know, neither team really turned the ball over. You know, there was some some questionable calls, but, that, I don't ever really, blame officials for a win or a loss. I feel like, you can control everything. So, it really came down to, we just didn't execute when we needed to.
Evan Jones led your team with 15. How is he playing right now?
He's playing pretty good. We're finally doing a better job of getting him the ball. Our guys are realizing that, he's the centerpiece of the offense. He's a big kid, six five, I guess, and, probably about 230. He's good athlete, going to play football at Tennessee Tech next year. So, our guys are finally understanding that, hey, we need to play inside out, and he needs to touch the basketball, whether it's him scoring or him drawing defenders and passing it back out. And I think that's one reason why our team's been playing a little better offensively as of late.
Yeah, he can really provide matchup issues for the other team.
He can. York's one of the teams in our district that can really match up with him well. They've got, Cooper. He's a big kid, about the same size. I think Jones outweighs him a little bit, but they're identical in size, and he's athletic. And then, they got the Headings kid who's big and athletic, and then Smith, he's athletic and long. So York really presents a matchup problem for us. I think they're probably the biggest, most athletic team in the district.
You look over your last several games, and you started the season, scoring in the 45 to 55 area. What, 60 points, 64, 60, 67. You had 56 last night. So you are seeing your scoring and your offense improve.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and that was, that's sort of been a focal point for us, as we started the new year. I'm happy to see that. You want to be able to score the basketball, and we need to score at least 60 or more a game to give ourselves a chance to win, Defensively, we want to hold teams to 50 or less, and we've done an okay job defensively. Our biggest issue right now is just we give up some offensive rebounds, or we don't rotate well when we have to help. Just kind of get caught standing and watching. And last night, we had a few timely offensive rebounds that led to points. I told our guys after the game, and they know this, but you just can't expect to compete and win if you're going to give the other team, especially teams as good as York, they're undefeated right now in the district. You just can't give them extra opportunities to score.
It's always been interesting to me, Coach, that offensive rebounds not appreciated. People talk about steals, they talk about turnovers, and for good reason. But you look at teams that have problems with offensive rebounding, and it really can be difficult to win basketball games.
It is. Last night we did, I don't know how many we got, but it was not many. And York only got seven, I think. Out of those seven, I'll have to look at our breakdown. But I believe a lot of those probably led to points. I know a couple times I remember just sort of daggers when we would go on runs, and I know of one where they got an offensive rebound, kicked out, and then Smith, I think, hit a three, and it was it went from a one possession game to a two possession game at that point. And that was sort of mid four. And your guys, they're working hard on defense, and then you give up an offensive rebound, and other team buries a three. It sort of takes the wind out of your sails a little bit. You got to regroup, and it's just a learning experience. I was really pleased with our effort last night.
John Sanders, head coach at DeKalb County. Another busy week for your basketball team coming up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we've got Livingston at home Tuesday night. That'll be the first time we've seen them this year. They've been quarantined quite a bit as of late, and then we go to Watertown Friday, and then we have Grundy County, a region matchup. They're coming to Smithville on Saturday, and they've got a good team. So it's going to be a tough week. We've got three good ball clubs that we're going up against. We're going to have to be ready to play for sure.
John Sanders, head coach at DeKalb County. Coach, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. Y'all have a good weekend.
Tight game between Warren County and Cookeville Friday night. Head coach Josh Hurd joins us on the high school playbook as the Cavaliers fall to Warren County. What was the story of the game in your mind, Coach?
We just couldn't get going offensively. You know, we've hit a little stagnant spell in the offense, and it's just causing us ball games. You know, we're playing. You know, we're giving a good effort on defense, but you know, our offense is just failing us, and that's just something that we didn't anticipate coming into it. You know, we really thought that our only issue would be our defense, just because we're young. But you know, we've just missed some open shots, and you know, it's cost us some games.
And I guess the thing that you worry about as a coach is when you start getting into a little spell of offensive woes, do guys start pushing too hard, which kind of exacerbates the problem?
Yeah, and you know, and it's tough, you know, when you have so many freshmen playing. You know, we have six freshmen playing on a nightly basis pretty much. And, you know, and we actually anticipated teams playing a zone, you know, so that's something that we actually talked about in the beginning of the season, you know, when we started. You know, so we expected it, you know, and it seems like that we've just not been able to overcome it just right yet. But, you know, I have faith in my guys. You know, I know they're going to work. You know, they're young, and this is one of those deals where they're just learning on the fly. And, you know, just something that we got to overcome.
Is there anything that you as a coach can do, a lever, and I'm sure if you could, maybe you'd already have done it, but just to try to get your guys out of it?
Yeah, you know, we've actually talked, especially last night. Last night was a tough loss, actually really, really tough loss. I told the guys that, you know, I never saw us going 0-3 in the district this year, just with how we've been playing before Christmas. The level of talent that we had, you know, I just didn't see that. And, you know, we went back and forth before we left the locker room, just talking about what needs to change and what's going on. And, you know, there were some things that were mentioned that we're going to, you know, work on. And, you know, but the biggest thing is, you know, we just, you know, we're good enough to make those open shots. We got to make those shots. I mean, that's really what the ball game comes down to. You know, we've even in the Sparta game, you know, we've had chances to make shots and take the lead, and you know, we just failed to do that. And then we can't give teams five chances to score and not think they're going to at least score at least two out of the five times. And you know, that's one of those deals where you know, we just have to figure out what we need to do on the offensive end to get better shots for ourselves and then better shots for our teammates. And, you know, with our skill set, I know we're figured out. And even if the boys, you know, even if we have some that push a little more at this stage, that's actually will probably be a good thing, because, you know, we trust that they have the skill set to make those tough shots and make those open shots and make those moves to get fouled or score the ball. So it's just something that we just got to put in our mindset and start doing.
It sounds like, though, as you talked to your team last night, that you saw determination and we're gonna fight through this with you, Coach.
Yeah, I did. You know, and you know, these young guys, you know, it's something. It's two different sides of the spectrum. You know, we have these seniors. You know, even though it's only two of them, but they've been through this stage where, you know, they play and get in a losing spell, and they get low on themselves, get low on their teammates, and the losing just keeps going. And before you know it, you're in your district play, playing for third and fourth place, and then you lose the first game of the region and you're done playing, you know, and that's what we talked about. We've been talking about that all week. And those seniors expressed that last night after the game, and those young guys, you know, no fault of their own, but you know, they have no clue about that. You know, they're coming off of stages where they've won majority of their games in middle school, majority of their games in AAU, And, you know, that's new for them. So it's just something that we just have to, you know, realize that it's out there, and we just gotta play better. But that's plain and simple. We just have to play better. You know, we do what we need to do in practice. But when we, you know, we get out there and start playing, it's just not correlating from the practice court to the game court.
Cookeville falls to Warren County, 63-57 Friday night. Coach Josh Hurd, head coach of the Cavaliers. Thank you, Coach.
All right, sir. Thank you.